And you have to turn it on.
I remember that.
Okay.
Times I testify.
Are we good? Okay, let's start the meeting. Okay? So our call to order. We introduce ourselves. I'm John Lindman. I'm from the Hidden Springs area, and I'm a co-chair of this meeting.
Stacy Epstein.
Board member.
Todd Olson, Parks and Rec Board Member.
Karen Kellogg, Parks and Rec Board Member in Robinwood.
Chris Owens, Parks and Rec Board Member.
Kevin Boddington, City Council.
Megan Big John, staff.
Thanks for going.
And Tara Winken, staff.
Okay, so now I hope everybody has a copy of the advisory board meeting agenda today. Before I say, we need to change one thing. Number four, which is the Parks Board plan for 2026. That happens to be on a computer with somebody who's sick and not here. Vicky's not here. So we're going to, I think we should just set that aside, and we'll do that next month, if that's okay with everybody. If there's any other changes that we need to make, we okay with the rest of the agenda?
Move to approve.
Okay. All right.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Okay, that's great. Summary notes from the last meeting. I actually read those for a change. And they looked okay to me, but they look fine to me. Any questions?
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting notes from December. Or, yeah.
Yeah, from December, yeah. All right, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, do we, Tara, do we have any community comments today?
Sorry, no community comments.
Okay, thanks. All right, City Council.
We haven't had a meeting since the last meeting of this, so I don't really have anything interesting to tell you. There's something that we'll get to that's somewhat relevant, but other than that, yeah, nothing's happened because we haven't met.
Was that on purpose or?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as it's on purpose, we're okay. So good. Megan, you're up with number five.
Hi, Diana.
Hey, Diana, how are you?
Good, thank you. Happy New Year, everybody.
Okay, so what has been brought up? We touched base on this very briefly when I had an understanding that it may be happening. We were talking about the parks utility fee, just barely briefed on it because we hadn't had a whole lot of solid information about what may occur. So I forwarded the agenda bill. You may not have had a chance to read it for those who are working today, but just know I wanted to give you a briefing on that. And so there's going to be a council meeting, the council meeting on Tuesday, they'll be discussed. What we're looking at right now is that two things. We realized it was not discovered, but there was an understanding and realization that the parks fee was to be covering the full amount of the parks maintenance portion of the budget. So when you think about the parks, those parks and recreation, right? The parks utility fee that was established in 2008 by council to be able to, at a deficit time within the city, that money was to be dedicated to help support the park system as far as the staffing, the maintenance, all of the land management. At that point in time, there was a 5% increase annually that you've seen that can go on through that. I believe it is in 2016, there was an additional increase where there was additional staffing that were brought in, but that's the only time that there's been an actual real increase besides the 5%. And with inflation and within costs, everything, it just hasn't kept up. And so finance had been working to figure out what that could look like if we did do a one-time increase of the utility fee for $5 that will end up bringing in about $500,000 to get us completely out of the general fund, where it's just that is part of the utility fee. And what the long-term plan is, as we all know, there's a deficit coming in about 5 years. And so that's just part of that first strategic planning process to be able to right size our funding and not lose any services for parks. And so the part of that is we've been working, and hopefully you're seeing it in your parks, that we haven't had an increase in money, right? In general, like since my time here, right? The budget was already established. So we are doing all we can to improve our maintenance, because I do worry about, you know, citizens not seeing we're not getting something shiny and new with it. So I'm hoping you're seeing in your parks, we've embarked dusting. We've been really getting back to maintenance after the 2018 bond initiatives. So that's that fee that will then again streamline and get all of that back into the parks fee straight there with no additional adds from the general fund. So that's piece one. And that's really go ahead. Please, and please interrupt and ask questions by all means.
Can you have, well, no, wait till you're done.
Are you sure? I'm going to switch to a different fee or same fee, but a different topic.
The PFM fee?
The PFM fee.
Parks fee.
That's what we're talking. Though, no, it's still the same. It's the Parks Fund Utility Fee. Yes, this is all the same. Yeah.
And that's to go into the budget for parks, not for the operations.
No, it can. So let me, so yes, good question. You're leading into my next point. So that fee is to pay for all of operations of parks maintenance in general, right? So staffing, facilities, all of that piece that was vetted. So the first $5 ask that is going to be coming from to council is to be able to add that $5 in one time to be able to get that right size. And then the 5% will come in the year sequential. Additionally to that, which is what Stacy's getting to point is, when the operations building has been coming to fruition, there was money in the budget, but not really accounted for where that was going to come from in each department. So there's four departments, I got to make sure I get this right, that are going into that building that are all paying a slice of the pie for that. So parks, of course, streets, stormwater, and environmental are all going into the operations building. So parks has always had a piece of that portion to pay for, right? And so looking at it, we either, the utility fees that come into public works, please interrupt me if I get this, it's really much more clear in the agenda. But the utility fees, they have a much higher fee rate. They have long-term plans for large projects that are set funding to set aside for. So what the public works fees are doing is they're kind of essentially borrowing from themselves and then paying that back over time, which will delay a couple projects and kind of extend those timelines out, which is really a great way to be able to go. So that's what they're doing with their fee, or how they're managing their payment for the operations building. Parks, we don't have that, right? This project's been in the work for at least 3 years, at least in the building. And so now that we know that our portion would be about $540,000 annually to be able to move into that building, we are short that money. $540,000 for the next 20 years.
Every year,
right? And so when you look at that, that adds up to about $5.20 that could be added to the utility fee to be able to cover that cost long term, as well as maintain the service levels that we have. So that does add up to $10.20. Coming at, yes, each month, right? Yeah, you guys are all feeling kind of what we're feeling right now, right? It's just like, so we're trying to see how, so this is what, you know, finance was able to work on to come up with of how we'd be able to pay our bills and still maintain our service levels, right? So this is being presented to council. There's coming out on Tuesday. There is a much bigger picture that's getting ready to be shared and painted and worked on really hard behind the scenes with our communications team. Actually, all of us are jumping into this, is looking at what council have been doing the last few, like 6 months or even a year longer, is looking at that longer sustainability of the overall city operational budget. So this piece is coming right now kind of out of necessity because the building's coming and then we realized what is going on with our fee in general. But there's going to be more, it's not storytelling, but painting that picture of where our finances are, that other fees may need to be adjusted for other departments and other needs long going, that we're really going to be sharing what the costs are, where the fees are going to, like kind of what John had already started with the budget in the last couple of years, you know, since he's been in charge, of really kind of explaining to the community how limited we are with the resources we have, and especially in parks, when you look at the amenities that we have compared to acreage per person, as far as full-time, we are way below what everybody else does have. And then you start adding our amenities that we have. In the cases, we have a lot more amenities than other cities do too. And so we're working on some of that, explaining how lucky we are to have what we have and how able we're able to maintain to the level we are with what the service that we have, with the fees that we have to do it. So we don't want to have any loss in service. And we're going to try to keep improving and optimizing how we are using that money. And that's been my main goal since I've gotten here. So that, I know that's a whole lot to throw out there, because talking fees is, it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard right now, right? Everybody's kind of is worried and feeling strapped. So I just wanted to let you know, I wanted to give you as much heads up as I could really get to find out how this was going to transition forward, and council will have that conversation on Tuesday. And I really, please, you go and jump in and add in anything that I've missed, or if I missaid something too.
Okay.
Can I ask a question first? Yeah. Now, if you own a home in Westland, you pay that fee. Okay. If you own a $5 million home, you pay the same fee as somebody that has a $300,000 home.
If right. you're a school, if you're a church, if you're a renter, if you have an address in Westland, you pay that
utility fee.
It's a utility fee. Right. So what if you're in an apartment?
Yeah. You have, if you pay utilities.
You do.
Then you would pay that. So yeah, if you pay a water bill, then you pay that fee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you look at your water bill and you look at all the fees that are on your water bill.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, I've lived in Westland for a long time, for 40 years. Okay. And it used to be, even when I was working with the Parks Board, is that Parks was paid for with the general fund. And then at one time, because people voted down a lot of stuff, they couldn't pay for the police department. And so they moved Parks away from the general fund to pay for the police, because we voted down increasing the stuff for the police. It's crazy, but it was true back in the early 2000s, that sort of stuff. So if I lived in an apartment, I would pay that fee.
Yes.
I mean, if you pay a water bill. I mean, the downside to that for me, as somebody that has no trouble paying any fee, is that if I'm living in an apartment and my utility bill has got this much for my water, but this much for all the other fees in the city, because the city doesn't collect that. It's too bad that we can't collect it the way we should collect everything else, which is property taxes that are higher for people that have a more expensive house or a more expensive building. Because what you're doing is you're taking people that aren't at the socioeconomic level that some of the people are at in the city, paying the same fee as somebody that could afford to pay more.
Oh, I know. That's been a concern of mine. In certain cases, you can claim a hardship and not pay those fees at all, but that's not terribly common that happens.
Listed that was an option.
Yeah. I think the reality that a lot of people forget is that unless you have the nicest landlord in the entire world, you're also paying property taxes through your rent.
Like certainly
your landlord better be passing that on to you, or they probably should find a new profession. The reality we're facing is that because of the fact that Westland is mostly single family homes, because of the fact that Westland has the lowest tax rate, actually the lowest utility bill at the end, like Portland's is $200-something of all fees. And then the lowest municipal debt. And then the fact that Westland has stopped growing. Westland's economic model is unsustainable. We will not have anything in the next decade if things keep going the way they are. So something has to give on that front. We don't have any more space, so we can't continue to grow. We have to fund the city services one way or another. There's just no way around it unless we are willing to accept a decrepit city. And that's what we'll have. So what we've been looking at is if you take all of the emergent or urgent needs that we have, there's a number that we're still trying to figure out exactly what it is. If you applied it as a fee, I think it would be something like $150 per month. Obviously, we're not going to put a $150 fee on your utility bill. That would be insane. But that's basically the mountain we need to climb to be able to bridge this gap by the time this budget shortfall starts to hit. So where that's going to be put, that's a bigger question. The first thing that was suggested was this parks utility fee. I think we need to maybe slow down on actually implementing that on Tuesday. We will still talk about it, but I think we need to have a comprehensive plan about what all of these things are going to look like. What's going to be put out as a levy? What's going to be put out as a bond? What other revenue generating sources can we look at still? And not just do it piece by piece, because the way I view it, if you do $5 now and then you have to do $5 later, the psychological hit is not $10, it's like $20 to someone. And then you do it a third time, it's like $50. Like it keeps compounding itself. So we need to be really strategic about how we go about this and make this ask. The only tools we have are things like utility fees, bonds, and levies. We don't have any control over our base tax rate. So it's a scary situation, and it's very much something that either needs to be dealt with, and if it's not, it's going to be ugly. So it's where we're at.
Yeah.
Somebody else will speak up. I have a couple of questions. So I read through this morning, but I think
I did. Okay. Oh. I need to get close to the microphone.
So the way I read this is that by the end of the summer, the fee will be $10.20, correct? Added to the water bill. So I have a couple of concerns about this. First of all, I agree with John. It's concerning to me that someone that lives in a modest home with two bathrooms, does a few loads of wash a week, is paying the same amount as someone who lives in a 5,000 square foot house with six bathrooms and using a ton of water and using, I know it's a parks fee, but I think I have some concerns about this pricing out people who are on fixed incomes, losing more of our tax base. And maybe because of my age, I'm extremely sensitive to senior citizens who are on fixed income. They're $10.20 ain't nothing. You know, it's a lot for people on fixed incomes, especially seniors. I think your people are going to lose homes over that amount of money. So that's my first concern. Having said that, I completely appreciate that we don't have a lot of places to go for money, but I think there'll be pushback, a lot of it. We already saw the first opinion piece come out today, I think, in the tidings. Mm-hmm. And I know I've been to that operations center. I've seen it. I know we outgrew it 3 years ago when we did the mask 4 years ago. I have a lot of concerns about $10.20 being added in and wish there were a better way to do a tier system. Maybe people above 65, or maybe people who are using, maybe there's some other ways to gentle this down for people that can't afford $10.20. You're right. I'm lucky. I can afford that $10.20. It's going to irritate the crap out of me, but I can afford it. And I love our parks. Obviously, I wouldn't be here. So, I mean, I'm worried about the clients I see every Thursday at that food pantry. They're not going to be able to afford that. They can't feed themselves. So, thanks. At Christmas, we handed out 135 holiday boxes to people in West Lynn. Anyway, that's my spiel. I'm a little tender about this. I'm a little tender. I know. But...
Well, and I think, Kevin, as you pointed out, if the thing that gets added first is the parks thing, okay, then parks takes a hit in terms of what people think about it. You know, if the parks fee goes up, $10. I don't know exactly what the parks fee is now, 15 or 20 or something like that. Well, there'll be a percentage increase in the parks fee. And that's just a little bit of what we need to do. then Parks takes the crap because they're the first people to change a fee over anybody else.
It's actually
the idea of you looking at it with, we need to change fees in a large area.
Yeah.
So that as a Parks group, we don't look so bad.
The only benefit I see is actually that Parks gets the least abuse for that. The yes. first one gets the least abuse. It's the third or the fourth one that's really going to get the hate. So
Parks is adding value to their home.
Yeah.
And that's why they move here. But I think there's going to be a limit. People are going to look at $10, $20 when they see that full amount. I just. Well,
keep in mind, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what we actually need. So
appreciate
it. It needs to be strategic. It needs to be placed in places that are not going to have that disproportionate regressive hit. And that's something I've been pushing, and we have not come to a consensus or solution about it yet, which is why I don't think we should be implementing anything as soon as Tuesday.
Oh, I think you're going to be in deep doo-doo if you just pull this out on Tuesday. That's all I'm going to say. I think people, you need some prep work with people. This is not, look how I'm reacting to it. And I'm aware of all of that. And I'm going, oh my God.
Well, looking at a longer range picture, that's why when you look at our capital projects that I listed, it's very shallow. I made a point not to go any lofty, took things that were kind of fluffy on there where you're wanting to be progressive. But this was before this was a year ago before we knew of the situation. And so that's, you can see I'm not trying to push new, trying to really hunker down and maintaining what we have so we can maintain the quality and even improve it just with optimizing what the resources we have. And so that's part of that longer range picture too. And this is, this all has kind of come up really quick.
So, I think
a half million a year to run the operations center when people. No,
it's not
what you said.
So, not to run the operations center. So any building now, think of the community. It's for Parks to move there. So think about the community rec center.
Okay.
Think about what that cost was to build that building.
Right.
Right. We're building a building of sorts without all the recreation part of it.
Right.
To house us, to be able to handle emergency responses. Like right now, the parks, we literally drive to 5 different locations to do our job.
Right.
And that's not the parks.
And I'm aware of
that. Oh, no. I'm just explaining. Did you say a half million? That's our house payment.
I thought you were saying
I still have to figure out how to clean it and do that with the facility side, but that's our like mortgage payment, if you think about it, to move into to have that building. So yeah, and the part that's hard about the operations building itself, we're in a residential space, and so anytime there's a storm event, there's all the planning that goes on to not have disturbances in that area. It's not very popular to be operating in the way we are, how we need to for services there either. But so there's twofold on that. And I think it's the timing of it is kind of hard, right? So I'm actually writing this feedback that you're having, and I wanted to make sure Councillor Bonington's hearing this, but I'm definitely writing information down. I'll check in with Vicky too, but I just, again, wanting the part that you'll see, there's no trying to hide any information, is trying to be as open and transparent as quickly as it can come out. So that's the part I'm really appreciative of being new in this situation. And this is mostly being handled up at finance, some kind of, here to help support the ride and figure out what we can do best with this situation we're in. Taking to heart what you guys are saying, I guess I just want you to know that.
Yeah, my only comment would be there's been so much hoopla over so many things. Let's talk about Uplander. Let's talk about closing a couple of schools. People, they're myself included, we don't really understand the reasons for things and the whys. And then all of a sudden, hi, we're closing 2 schools. Oh yeah, you just approved a bond. People don't understand the differences. And so I would say, let's be different than all of the other bad things that have happened. And let's be here, want to read it all? Look at it. We're going to be totally transparent, and we're not going to just throw it at you at the last minute. Surprise! Because people have had enough of that. And it's our own fault as citizens. You know, we make all kinds of assumptions, and I too get pissed off about property taxes like nobody else. But when I look at it, it's not West Lynn that I'm paying. It's every hoo-ha in the, you know, the Multnomah County and the homeless and everything. So, but people can't separate that out and differentiate it. It's just, oh, West Lynn, there they go again. So my comment would be transparent, put it all out there, explain it in easy language for people like me, and we will save ourselves a lot of backlash, I think.
And that's the intention and the plan, and why I don't think we should be doing that 5 or 6 times. We should be doing that once with all of the things that we need. Explaining, well, here are the utility fees we need, here are the levies and bonds we're going to put forward and when we're going to do it. We should be doing that all at once, one time, because trying to explain it transparently once and then again and then again and then again is going to really piss people off.
Right.
And I'm not going to be a part of that.
They stop hearing. It's like, oh, another thing? Oh my God, are you kidding me? Yeah. You know.
So even if it is a bigger number all at once, I don't think psychologically that's as annoying or problematic as doing it 5 or 6 times.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the idea, I think, still would be, I mean, since we can't change some of the property tax rules, it would be nice if we made it progressive. So if I lived in a $5 million house, I would pay more than someone who lived in a $500,000 house. That makes sense. And that, I think, most people can look at and say, this is reasonable. If you think of Property 5 down in California years ago, they did that for retirees because they had bought a house for $20,000, and now that house was worth $500,000, and they couldn't afford the property taxes because of the percentage on the property taxes.
Right.
But the bottom line is, it would be nice if, you know, and I'm sure the city council has been thinking about this, is that for those of us that have a bigger house and can afford to have a bigger house, we should pay more for what the city needs.
Yeah.
However we could do that would make the most sense to me.
That's absolutely true, but with the tools we have available, they all have trade-offs. And when it comes to, say, there are 5 things that are all urgent or emergent, and the operations complex is number one, basically.
Certain.
If we put the operations complex out as a bond or a levy, it has the potential to fail. That is something we can't have fail. So the fact that we can, as a council, just implement utility fees and make sure that's funded, that is a benefit of that tool. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we're trusting that a bond will pass for it, well, that exposes us to a lot of risk that will not happen. So there's kind of a calculation there as well. How are we going to do that?
Can I comment? Can you guys hear me? Oh, hi.
I
just have a couple things to say.
Can't hear you.
Oh, you can't? Okay, just a second. I have my volume all the way turned up. You can't hear me?
We can't hear you right now, so we're going to try to figure that out.
Okay.
I agree with John. I think if there's a way to tier this, or I think if you land on this Tuesday, people are just furious about the schools right now. People are on fire about it. And I don't see that calming down anytime soon.
Would you like me to relay any notes back?
I appreciate you bringing this all up. I think it's good discussion. I appreciate counselors' objective to look at things holistically and consider all the different options. I understand that in certain times you have different tools for different things and you have to use those strategically. And so, but you got to look at it in the big picture. So I appreciate that.
Nothing?
Nothing to add.
Can you guys hear me now?
I don't know if we can have you talk yet. It says unverified.
Huh.
Tara, can you hit unmute all?
Speakers here that are not activated. Right.
Try again, Diana.
Okay, can you hear me now?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Hang tight, though. We're going to try.
Sorry. Okay.
Try that now.
Hello?
Oh, no.
On occasion, we've had people at home be able, we've been able to hear them, but sometimes we haven't.
Yeah, I haven't had before.
How about now? No?
Or maybe we didn't tell you that we couldn't hear you.
It's my choice. It's a decision. I get riled up.
Diana, not that you want to type anything, but there is a comment, but that's like, I know, hard to do.
Okay.
An option.
Okay. Let me see where that is.
Man, Kevin, you better start wearing a Kevlar vest.
I think what we'll do, Diana, I'm going to go help Tara and work on this. So I'll finish up kind of my update for what we're doing. If in that,
why don't we do that?
We'll definitely remember, this is not you on the screen. This is us here.
Okay.
So that's been kind of the week. I've been working on that and helping support our communications team to look at this holistically. There's been a lot of thought going into that bigger picture. So I'm very proud of that, of how that's, I'm hearing that's coming through. So more to come on that coming up. At council as well, we presenting the heritage tree that you all recommended to council. So that will be exciting. And then the other thing that we're bringing to council is our partnership with Pioneer Pioneer Community Center.
Okay.
In Oregon City. I'm from Canby, and that's what it's called in Canby, the Pioneer Cemetery. So that's what comes up to my head that is so not it. So embarrassing. But what we've done is we've had an annual agreement with Oregon City to provide our services for Meals on Wheels and our medical support for citizens. And we used to, they have a new director, which has been great because he realized we're doing this every year. And why don't we do this for a 5-year, have an increase of a CPI, very standard. And if either one of us need to pull out of it, we can. So we have a IGA with them. It was also learned that IGAs need to be approved by council, not by city manager. So we'll be presenting that on that agreement, which is great. And then we're going to have a little presentation of the services that have been provided. So that's really exciting to have happen. So Tuesday's a lot coming up with parks in the middle of it all. And then on top of that, trying to work on all of the capital projects. We have a few bond projects, primarily in facilities, to finish up. I'd like to get those done by summer, by the end of summer at the latest. And then a few of the parks bond projects was just finishing up the non-motorized 30% design. So that project, and then really working with the rec staff on evaluating our programs that we're doing, our events that we're doing, what is sustainable, what is not, maybe sunsetting out. Looking at just kind of doing that reevaluation before we get ready to do our summer programming right now. I'm super proud of the work they're doing, the tracking, because it takes extra time, but we're now able to have some real data as to what we're doing and why, and maybe if something needs to change, we can explain that much easier. And then on the park side, everybody's getting ramped up. We're doing things kind of out of order that they normally would have done. Like I said, if we have beds cleaned up, let's get them mulched right now. So we're reducing our weed pressure. We're going to be finishing up the maintenance manual there. We've got it so far, and I had somebody working on it who left the city. So it kind of sat dormant for the summer, and now they're picking that back up. So that kind of helps with this narrative of what we do and why we do it. And so there's a lot of, and then the arborist position. We've got Todd Prager officially on contract as our contract arborist right now. So in the process of getting all of that transitioning away from Mike Perkins, he and I will always be here still as arborists, but trying to get that streamlined so that'll get more time back out in the field and get that process of the updated tree code really kind of moving forward this next year. So super excited about that. I've got a heavy lift this January to get that rolling with training on that. So
just a quick question. I know you've said this before, but see, the arborist is now a contract position rather than a city employee.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're doing, and a couple of reasons for that. And if I've already explained this too much, I know it was a long time ago. What I way have set it up is that we don't have to necessarily lose that in the future. So right now, what we found is that the arborist roles is primarily a lot of admin support, with the technical work of the arborist is actually relatively minimal.
That position was created to be a half-time arborist and the other half-time to be working within the Parks Department. And so there was a time where that had kind of flipped without any funding change and turned into kind of a full-time role. We processed about 340 permits this last year. And what working with Mike this last year, understanding a lot of it is actually admin, not technical work. So when you realize you're paying that high level of dollar amount, even for a staff to be doing that technical work, to be mailing signs, posting signs, emailing back and forth, it's not quite the best way to use our money. So I've talked to other agencies, and Milwaukee is actually doing this model too. A lot of smaller agencies do, where they work with an outside consulting arborist where they handle the day-to-day permits. And then they have an admin staff that does that additional work. So we are in the process, we'll be advertising for a part-time admin staff to help support that program. But also they'll be able to help Tara and I with work, and it's just a half-time. So there's been no loss of money. It's all, the positions are still there. We've just been able to add that personal service contract with Prager and Associates to be able to help be our experts. And I think what it's gonna do, one, you're going to see an increase in our speed. We'll be able to send applications to them, and within a week they'll have them done and presented and, you know, move forward, where we, Mike's been trying to struggle and juggle, and it's been a, even before him with Ron, that was a bit of a struggle. And then as we start to see any more deficiencies, which we know in our code are still there, we're going to have somebody online to be able to help us move through that quicker and be able to streamline our process. So I'm really looking forward to having that expertise from him. It's also not just for parks, or not just for tree permits, but it's for land use review that comes up too, as well, you know, all the things that go along with the business side of the code. So it's going to be a, it's going to be a struggle this next couple months to get it really transitioned over, because there's going to be a lot of questions that we'll be solving, but I will be so relieved to have it solved and working and flowing, because the customers are going to see a much better outcome as well on return of their permits coming through. And then I think what it'll do is set us up to be able to, if there's really some big pitfalls within our code, we'll be able to then make that presentation to be able to look at a full code update when the time comes. So. But I made it so that we, if we end up needing to come back to a halftime, we could do that in the future. So, yeah, so I'm really excited for the support. Hopefully that wasn't too much. You know, I talk a lot.
Okay. Are you good with your stuff now?
I am. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Tara? Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Not sorry. So, Diana, are you asking if this was in the future, like past, when this building was being planned for, was the finances kind of being planned in the process?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't, I know of a similar document, but I don't know of one by that name. And I would agree that a lot of this should have been something that could have been anticipated. And frankly, going back to the 90s, should have been anticipated, and for whatever reason, was not set up for success at that time.
So this plan was, what, Diana, I think that was about 9 years ago, 8, 9 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do know is the initial plan was that we were going to go into a full faith and credit bond. The city was going to take its own loan out. That has been the model from the beginning of this years back. So that has been the plan. I think then realizing in the last, with the last budget biennium, realizing the deficit was changing at a rate, you know, with inflation and all that, that we, there had to be an adjustment, that realized that parks wouldn't be able to afford that at that time. I don't know what the plan was for parks when before I got here. It was in the budget, in a capital, there was like a $4 million budget set aside, but I think that was part of tied to the full faith and credit at the moment. I'm not 100% certain on that, but if I'm reading between the sheets of paper, I think that's where it was coming from. So there was a plan, right? But then now watching what the budget has done,
we're having to make those adjustments.
Yeah, that plan was still going to work into this year. And then when the deficit was projected, combined with the rate of inflation, combined with the unexpected costs of construction, all that hitting at once earlier this year, it completely blew up that plan to keep this all within the normal budget. So at that point, we needed $10 million more total for the project, I believe it was. So.
And Dan, I'm just really appreciate you are all asking these questions, because this is one I want to give back to the comms team. Because if you guys are asking this, having more of knowledge of what we're up against, this is super helpful. So thank you for that.
Okay.
I hesitate. I don't want to beat the horse, but what you just said, inflation, you gave like four factors, inflation.
Inflation, costs of construction, and the budget deficit became projected.
The services and so forth. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'd ask you to translate that to the average homeowner who's having the same constraints.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to end up happening, the question will be, is what services do people, you know, it's really like it's an unfair moment all the way around, and the part that's always tricky about parks is it's just like within the utilities, we've all paid for these features, you know, and so we can always modify how we manage, you know, landscapes and change the, that will be the question. If this ends up not going, then we will have to make a change in what our services are. And that's one thing about trying to be really careful about how much we plan to expand. We expanded so quickly in our department, and it was so praised and so great. I mean, look at all we have, but the budget to maintain it long term was never set in motion. And that's kind of what I've inherited to work through and looking at all of those amenities, how to keep them functioning.
Let's discuss.
Yeah. And so I think that's where we're kind of getting caught with that right now. Right. And so there could be the decision over time of changing service levels. You know, that is always an option. There's things that you can't live without. Parks is one thing that is health and wellness. Right. But when we're starting to look, I can't be any greedier than our streets and our water. Those are, you know what I mean? So to me, it needs that holistic approach that is coming is so important. I mean, I could sit here and say parks 100%, but I also know I live here. It's not how that works, right? How do we figure out to balance the budget and try to serve the community the best we can without hurting a lot? You know, it's a tricky situation right now.
But we don't exactly have room to cut in our service levels. So we end up just not having services. We end up just not having police. We end up just not having anyone to take care of these parks. You can go to the park, but it's not going to have been cared for four years.
And you're edger.
So we're in a very different situation than somewhere like Portland, where they have obviously a lot more things to take care of, but an enormous budget to do that with. They can reduce their service levels. We can't. So, we just don't have things if we reduce our service levels.
And I do hear and appreciate the connect. I do hear it. I receive it.
I would
and
guess.
Yeah. Your notes. I guess what I'm saying is it's been heard, right? That's what I was trying to make sure by taking these notes, and we were able to share them.
I would guess we're not any different than a lot of other small cities and municipalities. I mean, everybody is facing very similar things. Not an excuse, but it just is what it is. And so, but I feel like messaging and transparency, people aren't going to like it, but we're telling you. We're showing you this is what it's going to mean. And I think that will save us a little bit of heartache, maybe.
Well, and before this even happened, like this last year, we've worked really hard with the staff to like, I think just even changing how we're managing, where, you know, if you go to work, you don't ever see us, and you come home, and like, how do you see this just continual basic care, but improvement from where we were before, even those small things and showing that little bit more of a heart. Gives good feedback to the staff too, to ask them to manage what they are with the little resources they have.
I don't even know that can be done further. Like, I think we're already asking staff to do three jobs. We can't ask them to do four.
We're just
by the optimizing, I'm hoping people will start to notice they or hopefully have over the last year.
Yeah.
The other part I was going to mention that will come out, and I was, as I was looking through the budget book yesterday, you know, we do have in our budget book the comparison of other cities of what those rates are. And one thing that I had came to clarity to me is there is one on utility fees. There's a page in there and I can send it out to you. But when you look at it, we have one out of all the other cities, the parks fee is higher than most. But that what that story doesn't show is that most other cities' parks are funded by the general fund.
Yes.
The parks fee comes in to help support ongoing maintenance. And so I had to make sure that point was, because I didn't even catch that myself until I was looking at going, gosh, how are we asking for more when ours looks so high? But we don't, we're not, the goal from the council long ago is that we were not in the general fund at all. So that's why it is higher than the other municipalities.
And also our entire utility fees added on are lower than every other city.
That's exactly right.
So yeah, it's higher, but it's higher than what?
Just look parts across, you're like, well, we're already paying a ton, but yet we're not, we're trying not to dip into the general fund at all.
But just like we talked about, it used to be in the general fund. And so that's how people that have lived here for a long time thought about it. You know, I mean, when I moved here, there were 7,000 people in the city and there was lots of space to expand. And now you can't find any place to expand. So maybe Oppenlander, but we won't talk about that. But the bottom line is that, yeah, we're up against the wall. And I think it's hard to look ahead, you know, as a city planner, if that was your job, it's hard to look 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ahead. If you think of one time, I can remember when we were looking at parks, it was like, we'd like to have a park within a half mile of everybody's house. That was a goal. Okay. That was a goal. And the idea was to make that park and have it there. And then somebody raised their hand and said, well, how do we take care of that park? Well, we haven't thought about that. They didn't say, I haven't thought about that yet, but it wasn't considered all that well, you know, and we constructed parks that had, you know, a lot of grass and other kinds of things, you know. Then we took up Mary S. Young, which was a state park. I mean, we've done a lot of things that were really good for the city and really good for those that love parks, but we didn't think about, well, how are we going to take care of those parks?
Yeah,
that's the hard part.
And that's where we're at now. And I mean, other cities who have grown a little bit in different ways, like Wilsonville, for example, or even like Oswego, that are, they're all going to be hitting that eventually at some point in time too, in different means. And so, yeah, so that's what, so I'm worried about it, right? I feel like I'm kind of the one with a little bit of a target on me, but so I want to do all I can to show that we are doing the best with the money, the best with our staff time. And the other part that was, it took with even just local, our internal staff, is that this is to keep it very separate. Recreation is in the general fund. Parks is intended not to be. So when you look at this, this is not a parks and recreation fee. This is a parks maintenance fee. So that's just to keep that distinction in your head, that it's not always, we want parks and recreation to be so tied together, but that's why recreation has to, you know, they have a certain amount of costs in their general fund. There's revenue requirements that we do. That's why we have to always watch how much our fees are, our rentals are, to cover some of those, our events. So that's why we're doing that. We do that anyway, but that's just, it's different. Yeah.
I was just going to say, don't mistake my intensity about this issue. I love the city. I stay here for a reason. I love the parks, and I do have appreciation for the problems, 100%. And finally, I know that Parks and Rec is doing a lot with very few resources. I am aware of, Megan, how you marshal those resources. I am. So my intensity is really, really out of concern. I think residents, yeah.
We have the same too. So please don't, yeah, this is, I don't feel great. Let's just say this.
Yeah. That's well, like I say, I don't want my intensity to be misunderstood.
Thank you, Stacey.
Next one. You're in Westland, but fees and matching yes.
Yeah, exactly. That story needs to be explained. And that's why this is really helpful dialogue with you guys to be able to, you know, when you're in it, you live it and you can speak it, but having these conversations with you help pull out the things that aren't necessarily clear to people. I mean, even for me, it wasn't
it dawned on me yesterday as I was looking at the chart. I mean, I knew it, but I'm like, if somebody else looks at this, they're not going to understand why we're asking for more. You know, even just on the onset of more, when it looks like we're really well funded compared to other cities for their parks, it's just, it's different.
Yeah. So, I mean, that people need to understand that, you know, that we're not part of the general fund anymore. We were to a certain point.
Right.
Everything was built and put on, or a lot of that was done.
Do you think people understand that the general fund is?
No.
No, well, I think you have to explain all that sort of stuff.
So that's always been part of my plan for how we solve this problem, is a strong communication component, which is why I'm kind of now in the position of wanting to step in front of the speeding freight train of Tuesday and be like, we need to slow this up. We need to talk about how we're going to do this as a comprehensive plan and communicate it. Otherwise it fails. So.
Yeah. Otherwise it fails. You're exactly right.
We might get a $5 parks fee increase, but we won't get much more than that. And we won't accomplish the goal of literally saving the city.
We should move on to Tara and the recreation stuff.
Come on, Tara, bring some sunshine. Bring some sunshine.
Talk about this for days.
This will be something positive, right?
Right, yeah. We had a fantastic holiday parade. I don't know if anybody saw that. I know Counselor did. It was light up the night. It was perfect weather. I forgot my notes. I'm sorry. I think we had like 25 entries about that. Yeah. So it was a great time. Great weather. Lots of snow. Fake snow. And we just finished our polar plunge this last weekend. We had that on Saturday. We had about 66 plungers. So a little bit dip in the attendees this year. Thankfully, the weather held out. It was wonderful. The water was pretty cold though, 46 degrees. we're in full swing working on summer. We've got our next spring events coming up, our Valentine's family dance. The Adult Center has their seasonal dances also. Lucky. So full swing. Working on the fair. Fair is going to be July 10th, 11th, 12th. Mark your calendars. I think that's about it. Yeah. And like Megan said, we're just refreshing. We're kind of just taking each event and really refreshing it and take a look at 2026. I think.
Good. Thank you. So we're up to items of interest to other park board members. Have you got something else you want to talk about?
I have one, and it's probably something that was discussed before my time, but there was a social media thing going around a couple months ago, and one woman really wanted to come and testify, you know, community testify, but she has like total anxiety, and she said, she's like, I can't do it. And I'm like, we're nice. It's just nice people. But she's like, no. So was there ever a time in the dog park at Mary S. Young that there was ever considered a small fenced off area for little dogs like the one Lake Oswego has?
I don't know. Prior to my time here, I don't know.
Yeah, it's been brought up several times. Yeah, because some people came in and wanted it to be like Lake Oswego, like one sand area and then one. Is it just grass chipped? Yeah, similar to like Gabriel Park. People brought in examples of Gabriel Park, but
yeah, or just even like a little sliver corner for the people whose dogs don't like big scary dogs like I always had. And so anyway, she wanted to, and several people, well, actually a lot of people were interested in it. And I thought, oh, I'll just throw it out there, see what I can learn. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think over time we've talked a lot about fencing. I mean,
the whole thing. Yeah.
Which would be reasonably expensive. And when you talk to the dog people, some people think that's a great idea, but a lot of people that have had their dogs running there for a long period of time don't think so.
Right.
That sort of thing. Fortunately, most people that drive in the area know that the dogs aren't fenced in. And we've been lucky, at knock on wood, over time, as we haven't had too many dogs run over, none that I can think of. So that works pretty well.
Yeah, I know we've had dogs run away because I've helped chase several of them and go
you
get
have them.
Them
in a lot of, you'll have them out on Mark Lane or you have them out into the soccer fields. Occasionally that happens. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I tried
to deal with all the foliage there. We've cleaned that area out, but we try to make it so it's difficult for a dog to run through, but a dog can run through anything.
They can do whatever they want. Yeah. Well, her concern was more, it'd be nice to have just a little small corner of that big giant space that was fenced in just for the little shy dogs or the little cute floofy dogs that don't want to play with the maniacal dogs. So
I used to manage the dog parks over there. So it's just having to weigh the desire and what the outcome may be and then the long-term maintenance of it.
Right.
And again, I'm not trying to harp the maintenance, but it is interesting because we had the Hazelia one that had the shy and timid, but you don't get to control who decides their dog is shy and timid.
That is true.
You don't get to decide that, right?
No.
And then what we found, we were during COVID needed to push out, it was before COVID. We were requested to open two other areas that were a grass area in general. So take Mary Ashton, for example, and we had to convert it into a fenced area. And once we did that, it was very interesting because you had to figure out the entrance point, no matter what it was when it was grass and it was enclosed in a small area, turned to complete mud.
Oh.
And so nobody liked that. We had to re-engineer the front multiple times by bringing in decomposed granite. And then the front entrance where everybody comes in with any fence, even if you fence the whole area, that whole entrance turns to flat out mud.
Yeah.
And so then we did a whole array of gravel at the entrance, but then as soon as the next path went, it was all mud.
Yeah.
So that was my only concern. It was like, we get it, but would you get the outcome?
Right,
so
right.
I don't think we're necessarily against it. It's just a matter of where it would go and is the intended outcome going to be what you want? Because the shy and timid dog park in LO does work to a point. It's grassy. They're having to redo the large dog park, which we had redone twice as a drainage, but the ones that were grass have not been great at all. I mean, people still use them. Dedicated people will go there, yeah. But
they're muddy. All
they are.
Just when people bring it up at Smith, they'll pay $5.20.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but I mean, those are things that, you know, when they get brought up, we always want to revisit it.
Expensive.
So it's not like it's a no, but that's what when I came in, it was a question about the big fence. And then there's also the other thing when you get a fence, people don't pay attention and there's more dog droppings and there's more. So it's, again, it's not a bad thing. It's just you have to figure out your pros and cons.
Yeah, right. I get it.
But it doesn't mean that it's, you know, like, don't do it. It's just trying to figure out the means to the goal.
But makes sense.
I was so shocked, like, how dead the grass turned, and then we have to reseed it and then fertilize it, close it down, and then it would just turn into. But people who don't mind that, they use it in the winter time, you know?
It was super messy at Mary S. Young today.
I bet it was.
Dog park was like 3 inches of mud.
I bet it really was, yeah. So, but thank you for bringing that up again.
Yeah, just curious.
Yeah. Diana, I got your notes down. Thank you so much for the kudos on the holiday parade. We love it too. It's a lot of work, and it's actually, we were discussing, it's really a city event because it's police, public works, and the same like the fair, but they're really large city events. So thank you.
Okay, anybody got anything else? If not, I think we're pretty much done for this evening. Okay. We'll have to work a little bit more next week, next one on the 12th of February when we do the Parks Board plan, but Vicki will run that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can tell it's a big deal when we don't have her.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. I agree. Okay.
Second.
Thanks, guys.